J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Just after 8 in the great city of Chicago, he's Jonathan Hood.
What shirt do we have on today?
What is that? Kennesaw State.
Nice.
Got a cousin that is going to Kennesaw State. Say, hey, do they have a t-shirt? Do they have gear? Give me something from the bookstore. Something in a bed sheet, please. Thank you.
Wow.
As long as it's got holes in it and it looks like a bed sheet, give me that.
I'll put that on.
Yeah, I'll put that on.
Put the jacket, the black jacket over the black with the gold. Looks good.
Well, it's a little chilly. Oh, yeah.
I went with shorts.
Yeah. Well, of course. Well, of course you did.
That's it.
48 degrees. Did you read Tracy's report?
I did.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's get in the car. The heater fires up.
Yeah.
Bam.
Snow up to your keister. That's when you start wearing long pants.
That's it.
Brothers like me, NASA.
No shot.
I got to stay warm.
That's it.
I'll put shorts on in July.
That's it.
I got the long underwear on now. I'm on until like June.
Chilly.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. By the way, nice to see Tom Brady could shake hands with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
I guess COVID's not a thing anymore. Got to be kidding me.
He's got something against Nick Foles.
And boy, wait, did they beat the living crap out of Aaron Rodgers yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Holy. And Ndamukong Suh comes with like violent intent.
Yes. There you go, Jeff. What did I tell you? Packers, their whole thing, beat the Lions, beat the Vikings, beat the Bears. Ah, take on a quality team in the NFC? Ah, fell a little short. That's the Packers. That's who they are.
Well, that was a weird game because the way it started and then the way it finished, it was really, I mean, that was unexpected. Listen, you may have thought initially the Bucs were going to put it on the Packers, but the way it started, it didn't feel like it was going to end that way.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Aaron Rodgers doing the Key and Peele triple pump.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't result in a touchdown, but he's giving you that. And then at the end of the game, you've got him on the sidelines, not even playing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
See? That was stunning.
How about that?
That was unbelievable. It's 10-0. My friend Alex Brown, who said the Packers are going to win by a blot. And then I'm listening to ESPN coming in on they simulcast on satellite.
Mm-hmm.
And ESPN's Rex Ryan. This game won't be close. You could put everything you want on it. The Packers will win this in a blowout.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Linda Cohn. All of them.
Yeah. Well, you come to find out that, like, it takes a little time for Brady to get going. Like, this is not the Patriots, Brady. It takes a little time, and once he gets in the rhythm, look out.
Whoa.
That's why I was so afraid with less than 2 minutes left against the Bears. Thank God he had a senior moment.
He did.
Well, what do you think the senior moment happened? The Packers are so regretting the fact that the nation made fun of Tom Brady for holding up the four. He came out yesterday saying, oh, you guys want to make fun of me? You want to make fun of me? I'll show you make fun of me.
Take that.
Yeah. How about that? So
crazy.
So this is why we're happy this morning. Packers lose and the Bears continue their momentum at 5-1, and I'm feeling good about it.
Where do you want to go?
So go ahead to the phone lines and talk to you. We will say hello to Gary in Northbrook.
Gary in Northbrook.
It's under the G's. There you go.
Thank you. Gary, what's up, Sparkles?
Yes. I want to talk about the officials. Pass interference. Allen Robinson, third down near the goal line. He got clobbered. No pass interference.
Yep.
In the fourth quarter, long pass. Johnson, good defense. Pass interference. Ball on the one. Touchdown. Clock doesn't go down. How do they call this?
Yeah, I actually thought Jalen Johnson did commit pass interference. He had his arm hooked for a good 15 yards down the field. So I had no problem with that call. But the Allen Robinson one, that's a terrible miss. Terrible.
Okay.
Thank you, Gary.
Sure.
Thanks. And the same thing we talked about, the Kyle Fuller hit.
Yeah, the Jalen Johnson, again, this is me with my Saturday eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that call. But I understand in this league. I totally understand it.
So when the All-22 gets posted tomorrow, text me and let me know what you think when you get that view.
Yeah.
And see what you think.
I got to see the entire, because what we saw is the last few seconds of the hand fighting. I understand. I just thought it was light. It wasn't so egregious, but it's how they call it in this league.
They do.
I can't, look, as I said to you before, Saturdays, that's probably a no call. Mm-hmm. On Sundays, I know they're calling it because it's an offensive league. I totally get it. This is why most teams should not struggle offensively, because there's so many flags in that league.
Correct.
It's so many flags. Correct. Crazy.
Back to the phones. Where are we going?
I don't know, man. I'm blinded by the light. I think I see John and Lions. There's so many calls here. I'm blinded by the light.
Every line lit. I love our fans. John and Lions, you're up.
Hey, this is John Prophet, Michael Anthony's Bars. How are you?
What's up? How are you?
Hey, listen. The one thing I love about Foles, and Trubisky couldn't do this, as a defensive player, you can't go three and out, and kill our defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing Foles will do, two things. One, he'll always give the punter at least between the 25 and the 35 on their side. Two, he'll get it back to at least the 25 and 35 on the other side for the kicker, for the extra point. Those little things, those three and outs, is making our defense play so much better, because when they get out, they know they're going to rest at least 10 minutes, 5 minutes, not just three and out. We got to go back out there and try to get the ball in bad field position. Big difference between Foles and Trubisky, just on no more three and outs.
Yeah, look, Nick didn't play great yesterday. I appreciate the call, John. He hasn't been like, oh my goodness, what a sensational player. He's a sensational leader.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've got to continue to work. Got to get that offensive line fixed. It was funny yesterday, so we're talking about the loss of James Daniels and how big a factor that is. And I keep telling you that Olin loves James Daniels. He thinks James is going to be just a solid 12-year NFL standout on the offensive line. Well, he's gone. He tore his pec.
Okay, he's injured, right?
He's gone.
Okay, he said the loss. I was a little verklempt. Okay.
Yeah, no.
He's still with us.
He's still with us.
Okay.
What he said yesterday, he said Rashad Coward was terrible yesterday. Alex Bars wasn't great last week and got beat out in practice this week, so Coward got to start at guard in place of Daniels. What Olin said he would do, interesting, Sam Mustafa is the backup center, mm-hmm, who was elevated from the practice squad. He's a former Notre Dame offensive lineman. He said, I would actually entertain putting Mustafa at center now and putting Cody Whitehair at left guard. He said, you're letting a kid play his natural position, Mustafa.
Mm-hmm.
He said, with a veteran quarterback behind him, it's not Mitch, who was not comfortable with Daniels and wanted Cody. And he said, now you got Cody at guard, where he's been a Pro Bowler. So it would be interesting if they made that move.
Yeah, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to try to keep Foles alive. Oh, by the way, Bears fans, here's the key stat for you yesterday. Zero sacks on
zero.
Foles.
Correct.
Okay.
I think he got hit seven times, but big deal.
Yeah.
He did not get knocked down.
Yeah, but zero. Zero sacks. That's a positive in the right, mm-hmm, direction right there, that Foles' uniform was clean for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. The offensive line has done a pretty good job in pass protection, even as banged up as they are, but they have not gotten the job done in the run game.
No.
I still want to know why we don't run toss crack, some type of stretch, but we don't do anything outside.
Well, that's what Patterson's for, right?
I guess.
By the way, that put a smile on my face.
One carry.
Ah, refreshing.
One carry. Man, a really nice catch.
That's fine. That's enough.
Yeah.
I don't need him to get like six or seven touches.
Correct.
Okay? This is why you have Robinson. Oh, by the way, did Miller play yesterday? Anthony Miller?
I don't know if he dressed. Did Anthony Miller dress? Anyone see him out there?
Danny?
Guys, he was there. We saw him early.
Okay.
He caught a pass and then he ran backwards.
Three receptions, 8 yards. I'm telling you, man, Mooney's ahead of him in the depth chart. Mooney the kid over Miller so far. That's how I see it. That's how I see it on the depth chart.
Yeah.
How many more impactful plays you see from Mooney that you don't see from Miller?
Agreed, but I still think if this team's going to go where we hope they go, Miller has to be the number two. I think.
I wish he would want as much as you would. I wish he would want as much as you do.
It's a good point.
Okay.
Where do you want to go?
Back to the phone lines. I'm so blinded by the light, so many calls. I see Eddie on the north side.
Eddie on the north side. Eddie, what's up, kid?
Hey, guys, how you doing? So
Eddie,
I'm going to run through this really quick, and I got a few points here. You got to give the Bears credit. I mean, what Tampa did to Green Bay, and the Bears have beaten Tampa Bay this year, that's a great win because they look really good. Next thing is Foles did get his jersey dirty because I know he got a roughing the passer and he got walloped pretty good over there. Third thing, man, isn't Philly hoping they should have kept Foles and put him out because Wentz looks horrible. And the
it's the choices you make in Philly, right? It's the choices you make. They saw Wentz as the better quarterback. That's fine, but when he got injuries and ineptitude, this is what the Eagles look like.
I thought he should have got another chance after you win a Super Bowl. You just don't take a quarterback out. But the last thing is, it's got to be the end of the Odd Couple program. When you throw out Best Bet North Carolina -12 and you lose outright to Florida State, and then their other one, Boston College +12 and you lose 14-12.
All right.
You know what?
If you win 58-59%, you are killing the bookies. So everybody has a miss, Eddie.
And Eddie, you got a problem with that show? Call Carmen. You got a problem with them? Don't call us. Call Carmen if you got an issue with their bets.
Are we sure it wasn't North Carolina basketball that they were talking about?
And by the way, I did bet North Carolina, not on the Odds Couple advice. I liked them, and I think you did too.
Yeah, well, who knew Florida State, right?
Florida State.
Who knew Florida State was going to be that good?
And then did you see what happened?
Who knew that?
Did you see what happened at the end of the game?
Okay, I don't remember.
I live bet the game on PointsBet.
Yeah.
Live bet the game. North Carolina's getting killed.
Yeah.
Getting like 9-1 on my mom. I'm like, in. Now here they come.
Mm-hmm.
They come all the way back. They score with ease. Now they're one score down to win the game or get a field goal to tie it. I think it was 31-28.
Mm-hmm.
And three straight passes on the final possession, all dropped on fourth down. He's got a running back in the flat for the first down. They'd be in plus, I think they would have been at the 30, and boom, drops it again.
Yeah.
Game over.
Oh, it's college, brother.
Happens, kid.
I mean, but based on how Florida State played against Notre Dame, I didn't know Florida State had that in them.
I had no idea. Me either.
So, again, make sure when you're betting North Carolina, you love the story of old-timer Mac Brown on the sideline. You know, bet with your head, not your heart,
about the
story of Mac Brown.
There you go. 312-332-3776. The Bears did something yesterday for the first time this season. That plus all your calls coming up next. 312-332-3776.
Take that.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
You're waking up in Green Bay, at least for 1 week. Take that. You're looking up at us in Chicago, first place. 312-332-3776. JD will be with us at 9 o'clock, but Hoodie and I are here for you. We're talking about what the Bears did yesterday, finding a way to win a football game in Carolina, and they did something yesterday we hadn't seen all season.
What's that?
They scored in the third quarter. Oh, my God.
Oh, thank goodness. Now we don't have to hear that anymore. That's usually the storyline every game, and rightfully so, by the way, when you don't score in the third quarter. But now the announcers don't have to do that anymore.
Correct.
We finally scored in the third quarter. Great. And it wasn't looking good early, by the way.
No.
I was wondering, like, are we going to go 0-for again in the third quarter? Was not good. By the way, shout out to the two-minute drill. Boy, if you're looking for 3 points with no timeouts, that's how you do it. Shouts out to the Bears there.
How about 55 yards from Cairo Santos? That would have been good from 58, 59. I mean, he drilled that kick.
Of course, it wasn't perfect. But the point is, though, is that if the thing you're trying to do is get 3 points.
Yep.
And they were able to do that.
Got it done. So somehow, some way.
But no, I mean, they would have a timeout in their back pocket if they didn't bungle the first quarter situation.
Oh, my goodness. Get the turnover. You're in the Reds. Timeout. Come out of the timeout. Delay a game on the offense. Like, are you freaking kidding me?
When you're watching the ebb and flow of that game, you see that as soon as you get comfortable in your easy chair, like, are we going to go through this again? Are you going to play down to the competition?
Crazy.
Are you going to do this? And, thankfully, the Bears were able to win that game yesterday.
All right. Where do you want to go?
Back to the phone lines. We talked to you on the north side. There's Fave. Flav? Is that Faye? Oh, it's Faye.
It's Faye. Yeah. She's loyal listener.
I see Faye.
Hey, Faye, what's up?
My glasses.
Hi, guys. How are you?
How are you?
How you doing?
Happy Victory Monday.
Absolutely. What's going on?
Right?
Yep.
I need help here, and you guys are the experts. And so I'm just looking at offense, right? I look at Matt Nagy's menu, and then I look at the guys around him, and I need to know what and how do the offensive coaches plan out a game. I mean, how do they position players? How do they teach these guys positions? Because Nick, of course, is the quarterback, and he's going to throw the ball or do whatever. But these guys seem to never be in the right spot at the right time. And I know, and you've seen, head coaches get fired, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What happens with the offensive coaches? Do they have the same menu? Do they have their own menu? What are they teaching these young guys? Good grief, Charlie Brown.
Yeah, I'm just not convinced there's enough talent on the offensive side of football. As good as Ryan has done putting that defense together, they are lacking in playmakers. And then when you trade away two number ones and a three to the Raiders, I love having Khalil Mack here, but that's two picks that would have been used on offensive line,
sure,
running back, a wide receiver, whatever the case may be.
So this goes back to Pace, getting rid of guys that fill in the gaps that help, you know, our team get through and get to a different plateau. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
How do you throw these guys away?
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about all kind of guys. Nick. I'm talking about the backup running back that we could have, the wide receivers. They were so young last year and the year before, and they got rid of all these guys that were doing great things. But why?
Yeah, so I see what you're saying. What you're saying, Faye, is that in an offensive league, you want to have as many offensive weapons as possible.
Yes.
Khalil Mack is a top 10 player in this league. And so you're going to roll the dice for a player like that because you want someone to solidify the defense. And I thought that the deal was fine at the time because you need someone like Mack. You see what he did out there yesterday, last few games. Point is, though, is that you sometimes you have to roll the dice to try to get as many solid cornerstone players as you can.
Appreciate you, Faye.
Well,
have a great week, okay?
Pace needs to get out of the gambling game then, because his dice is coming up snake eyes every time.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to agree with you, Faye, but we appreciate your thoughts and your call.
Go Bears.
Go Bears. See ya. 312-332-3776, where you want to go?
Yeah, she's talking about a more offensive weapon, so I totally get it. McHenry, here's Ethan with us on Cap and J Hood.
McHenry, we're spraying all fields today. Hey, Ethan, what's up?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up?
Feeling pretty good, 5-1. Defense is playing great. After watching yesterday, the Packers kind of get blown out. Watching the Rams last night, not look too great. Seahawks really squeaking away at wins. I think we can play with anybody in the NFC, and I think it's wide open for us. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm not going to say it is that we can play with anybody right now.
No.
Let's find out.
Well, NFC.
Yeah. Look, the NFC, Green Bay, you still have to prove to me, and I know what happened. I appreciate your call, Ethan. Listen to this. Ryan Glassbeagle from, I think he's Big Lead, he tweeted, if you had said that the Packers would hold Tom Brady, I didn't even realize this, to 166 yards passing, they were spotted a 10-0 lead, and that Chris Godwin and Mike Evans would combine for six catches for a total of 58 yards, could you ever conceive Tampa would win by four touchdowns?
No, not that.
That's amazing to me.
There's no question. Here's what we could do. And this is not a conversation for today, but we'll bring it up, and maybe we'll bring it up again later on this week as we wait for the Ram game. So the Bears already beat Tampa, and they're going to take on the rest of the NFC South. They already beat Atlanta, so we're going to see, and they beat Carolina. So we'll see what happens against the Saints. Now, you look at Seattle, who I think is the best team in the NFC. I said that they're going to win the Super Bowl. That was my prediction when we started the season. So the Rams are coming up. We'll see what happens there with that game coming up on Monday. We cross off the NFC East. Well, there's no question the Bears are our top five team, but they got to still take on the Packers twice. That's the measuring stick. That's
no question.
That's the measuring stick for generations, not just this year, for a long time.
A long, long time.
So we'll see.
Now, you were able to get a lot of pressure on him yesterday. How many times was he sacked? He had to have been hit, sacked seven times. Had to be. They finally pulled him out and went, okay, it's not happening today and we can't get you hurt. Like, that guy was getting the living daylights beaten out.
Yeah, he was sacked four times for 42 yards.
Four times.
Mm-hmm.
And he was down on the ground a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can get that kind of pressure.
Five times? My box score, okay, officially five times.
Five times.
Yep.
The Bears should be able to get that kind of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely should. Back to the phones. 312-332-3776.
Sergio is with us on the north side on Cap and J Hood.
Hey, Sergio, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How you doing? It feels great to be winning and be on top of the division.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You'll take that every time, right, Serge?
Most definitely. I just want to let you know I bleed orange, blue and orange. And my thing is, you know, on defense, I think we're winning, and we're winning on strictly talent alone on both sides of the ball. I just feel the coaches don't know how to set up the plays that we're going to be running. And what was he thinking when he did the no-huddle offense in the fourth quarter when we're up two touchdowns?
Well, that is what Nick Foles has been asking him to do. So that's not all just Matt. Nick has asked to go no-huddle, and Matt has acquiesced. So that's not all on Matt. And at some point, you're going to have to come around to the fact this guy's 25-13 since he got here. He's 5-0 in the NFC again. It's not all just winning on the roster, man. The guy's developed a culture there. You're going to have to come around to the fact that does he make mistakes? No question about it. But he's also a damn good football coach.
No, he is. I just wish he learned how to set up his plays more. Like when he brought in the three tight ends, why didn't he do a play action pass instead of running the ball? You're telling the opposite team that we're going to run the ball when we run the ball. And when he does those patterns, he's got to do some more crossing patterns in the middle. You know, just learn how to set up the plays a little more.
Thanks, Sergio. Appreciate you listening.
I mean, it's the one thing that you look at. You want to get better offensively, Cap. I totally understand it. I totally get it. Because people want to see the Bears' offense be viable, man.
So let me ask you a question.
It, right?
Yes. Trade deadline around the corner. Jonathan Hood sitting in Ryan Pace's seat. And you can trade for an offensive lineman, or you could go try and get another wide receiver. Would you make a deal, give up draft capital to get an offensive lineman? You're not going to get, you know, Willie Rofe in his prime or Anthony Munoz. I'm not saying that. But a solid starting caliber O lineman, would you give up draft capital to do that?
Yeah, I need to know who it is, because you definitely have a glaring hole there on the left side.
Correct.
So that's my whole issue. I'm not concerned about wide receivers. You have plenty of them that you don't even use. So apparently they're not good enough to be able to get targets. Javon Wims can't get a sniff.
Ridley,
you know, Ginn can't get a sniff. So is that like you don't have wide receivers? You're putting them on ice, or you activate them and don't use them. Only use them on special teams. So it's not wide receivers. I would love to have running backs when you had an opportunity to be able to pick some guys up. You did not, and apparently you're not a running team. So I guess that wouldn't work. There's no one special that I could pick up right now and say, come in there and you're going to get 20 carries, because I can't guarantee that with Matt's offense. The only thing that I would want is someone on an offensive line if I had to. And it can't be too much. It's got to be someone in the future. It can't be draft picks for this year or next year. It's got to be the future, if possible.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to do that.
Okay, well, it's going to be as is then. You got to go all, because you had an opportunity to pick up some other offensive weapons and you didn't. So apparently they love their rooms. Because rooms win championships, right?
Right. What I would say to you, though, is tomorrow's promise to no one.
Right.
And next year you could wake up and go, son of a gun, who got hurt now? Right now, today, armed with the knowledge we have, they are blessed with incredibly good fortune health-wise.
Sure.
We don't know that Russell Wilson's going to finish the season as the Seahawks quarterback. We don't know that our guys are going to stay healthy. But blessed with knowledge today of good health, if the right deal was there to get a
solid left tackle?
I'm in.
That's the thing that I would want the most.
I'm in.
I would have to try to solidify that left side of the offensive line. I get it. Because it's a win-now league. That's
correct.
Why.
Correct.
It doesn't mean it carries over next year.
All right. 312-332-3776. Jonathan Vilma, the analyst for like the 80th time this season we've heard him. Yay or nay? We'll discuss that and all your calls. It's your show. 312-332-3776. He's Hoodie. I'm Cap.
Take that.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So what'd you think of Jonathan Vilma as an analyst? Then I'll give you mine.
Well, first of all, you're going to give me a fine. You're going to give me a dollar
what?
For the cough there.
I didn't cough.
Ferniesbookbank.org. That was a cough. Jeff, did you not hear a cough just coming in?
It's definitely a clearing of the throat, which is worse than a cough.
Oh, boy.
So that's a dollar.
Cough, okay. You can't control as much as you can clearing of the throat.
Okay.
You got cash today?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I do.
$1 to Bernie's Book Bank,
see,
please.
Mindy left me.
What Mindy left you.
Yep, there you go.
$1 to Bernie's Book Bank. Thank you.
By the way, thank you to everybody that donated. You can still do that, but over $100,000 now to Bernie's Book Bank raised.
Awesome.
Pretty amazing.
Follow them on Instagram and Twitter as well. There's so many great inspirational stories still. Just because we did had the walk and we were raising money, it doesn't stop. Kids still need to have books.
No question.
It hasn't stopped, so.
And we'll do it again next year.
So just, you know, just keep that in mind. And any time that Cap is uncontrollably coughing or clearing his voice, it's $1.
There you go.
To Bernie's.
All right, back to Jonathan Vilma.
Oh, yeah. I don't have a problem with Jonathan Vilma, and here's why. Man, listen, I get my fill on NBC Sports Chicago when I need to have analysis, right? There's a lot of guys that you could depend on when it comes to analysis. In-game, remember, these guys either fly in on Fridays. They don't know the Bears like we know the Bears. They may not even know Carolina when they come in. So I'm just there for the entertainment. I'm watching the game. But as far as learning something, I get some out of it and some don't. It's like me in church on Sundays. You know, the preacher will say some things. You're like, I can't use that.
And you'd be a great preacher.
Oh, well, I've been doing it for 30 years. Anyway, so it is. I've been in front of, been at the pulpit for 30 years doing this.
You'd be amazing.
I'm doing it now. So we're just sharing the. It's a temple church combo.
There you go.
That's what's happening here. That's all it is. But no, it's just you take what you can get out of it. Vilma does not insult me. What insults me is when the teams, the broadcast teams, come in and don't know the players. Or miss the names of players.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get that yesterday. It didn't bother me.
I'm not
bothered by it.
Look, first of all, he was a hell of a football player.
Mm-hmm.
He's raw. He's incredibly raw.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you were a big-name player. We're going to drop you in the booth. It takes time, man. You and I have been in the business a long time.
Yeah.
I told this story once on the air, I don't know, a year ago. I found a couple tapes of me, like 1993. Doing a game, I'm like, oh, my God, I was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Brutal. Well, you learn. You get better as you keep doing it every day.
Yeah.
And I hear he's a good dude.
Yeah.
So just keep grinding away working at your craft.
Is his first year? Of course. His first year, yeah. There's a lot of guys that aren't good that's been doing it for 10 years.
Correct.
He's looking at you, Rich Gannon. But Vilma's in his first year. He'll get better.
He'll get better.
Yeah.
Danny, you like Vilma.
Danny?
I think Jonathan Vilma was great. That was his third Bears game this year. He's done 6 games in his NFL career. This was his third Bears game. I like how he explains his thoughts. I like how he explains his rules. I think he does a nice job. We've had far worse broadcasters. And I think, you know, listen, he's raw, he's green, and he's growing. He's getting better. And if Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma call my games going forward, I've got no complaints with that.
You don't want Dick Stockton back, huh?
No, no shot.
Okay.
Well, that's when you're horrible.
I mean, give me Charles Davis. Yes, I love Charles Davis.
He's amazing.
As an analyst. G- give me Tony Romo. Give me Troy and Joe. But if I'm not going to get them, I'll take Jonathan Vilma on a normal Sunday at noon.
Yeah, that's not a problem. So look, when you get the mummified Dick Stockton to roll out there, that means your team's not very good.
Correct.
That's usually the case.
And there's other analysts that just talk in such cliches and don't really fill you in on anything. At least Jonathan Vilma tried to have an opinion. He tried to take strong stands on things. Whether you agree with him or not, that's a different subject. But at least while he's broadcasting the game, there's an entertainment value to it because he's offering something up than just saying, like, boy, that play didn't go anywhere, did it? You know, that's vanilla.
Hey, I told you, didn't we have Stockton game two?
We had Stockton when they wouldn't let Kenny Albert, who'd been getting COVID tested every day, fly to do the game in Detroit, I thought.
Yes, and Vilma was with him that
game.
And they
let Kenny Albert not go, and they flew Dick Stockton from a COVID hotspot.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know what I did? I told you what I did. Yeah, Joni Akinthayo.
There you go.
I got no time, man. Listen, I'm watching the game. Yeah, I have to realize that these guys are not firmly entrenched with the teams like we are, or like Joni Akinthayo. So I take it with a grain of salt.
There you go.
I really do.
312-332-3776. Pastor Joe Basile says, guys, Danny said the Bears are in danger of a disappointing playoff run. That was not Danny. That was Jeff Meller. I could be wrong, but I thought he picked the Bears to go 6-10 and miss the playoffs. So, Jeff, how could any playoff run be disappointing to you? Just curious.
No. I said what you're doing is you're setting yourself up. You're 5-1, right?
Yeah.
But you cannot, like, if you're telling me you have confidence in this 5-1 team, I don't believe you. That's fine. They've beaten some pretty bad teams. I'm not going to take anything away from them. They don't need to apologize for being 5-1. I actually picked them to go 5-11, not 6-10, so you're giving them one extra win.
There you go.
But listen, that doesn't change the fact that you can't have a disappointing playoff loss. Like, if they end up 12-4, 13-3 because of this tremendous 5-1 start, okay. But you're going to, like, I'm telling you, 2 weeks in a row, you know what I tell my kids? I say, anybody can make a mistake. But if you make a mistake, learn from it. Just don't keep making the same mistake over and over. Two consecutive weeks, Matt Nagy has failed to run out the clock in games and given the opposition a second opposition to go ahead and tie the game or win the game.
But in Matt's mind, it's not a mistake. You think it's a mistake. We might think so. Matt would stand right here and say, Jeff, it's not a mistake. That's who our football team is.
That's fine, but again, okay.
Doesn't make him wrong.
Okay, let's play the result. 2 weeks in a row, you've given the opposition the opportunity to come back and beat you.
Right, that's not smart.
Then that's even worse if you keep saying, I'm aggressive, I don't care. Like, look at the results. Look at your team. And I pointed out, Cap, I'm not necessarily against throwing the ball, but on 3rd and 2, when you go into a spread formation there, and you throw the ball and you make it more obvious to the defense that, hey, we're throwing the ball. That, I think, is a bad plan.
Don't disagree. All I'm telling you is he does not agree with you. And just wrap your brain around it. That's who he is.
Cap, I'm not asking him to agree with me. I'm simply stating I think it's a mistake 2 weeks in a row.
There you go.
And listen, you dodged a bullet. You got away with it 2 weeks in a row.
Twice, yeah.
But when you give the opposition, the opposing offense, the opportunity to come down and tie you, the offense may not have come through. I'm not going to play the result, though. You've given the opposition another chance to tie you or take the win.
Right, but he would say to you, okay, so if I run the ball and I don't get it, they're using their timeout, they're still getting the same amount of time, albeit one timeout less. They would be out of timeouts to come down the field. That's where it was.
I understand that, but again, you forced them, the opposition, to call their timeout, their final timeout in that instance, right? Because you're running the ball.
Correct.
So even if you don't get the first down on the run play, you have made it harder on the opposition to come down and tie you or take the win.
Right. And again, he would say to you, we'll hear from Matt Nagy on that because I'm going to keep this rig on the road. All your calls are this Bears victory Monday, and we'll hear from Matt Nagy on that exact play next.
Take that. Take it. Take it.
Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Hat tip to ESPN's Tom Pelissero. He tweeted, all clear for Monday's NFL games. We have two of them today after zero positive COVID-19 tests among players, team personnel, officials, and game day assistants. Game on!
Good. By the way, 4 o'clock game?
Yeah.
You going to watch?
Yes.
Nap beforehand. Nap?
Probably try and get an hour in. Not much more, because otherwise I struggle to go to bed then.
Jeff, nap?
Probably not. Grocery shopping on Mondays.
Danny, nap? Nap?
Zero nap.
Nap? JR, nap?
Always.
JR says he always naps.
Carm, nap? Mike Thomas, nap? Yurko, nap? Waddle, nap?
Yurko gets his nap in between 10 and 12.
Oh!
Wow.
All right.
And by the way, Merkin back today. Good to see Randy back here.
Randy nap. So, again, I definitely nap before that.
No question.
Are you going to get to see the entire 4 o'clock game? I think, like, as a parent.
Yes.
And especially today. Today is my son Avery's 7th birthday.
Happy birthday, Avery.
Happy birthday, big guy. But the point is, I don't think I will tune into this game before the end of the third quarter if I'm lucky. 4 o'clock is just an early start on a weekday. If you've got a job, you've got families, you've got responsibility, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I'll watch them all.
Well, you're a 58-year-old man with an empty nest. I mean, you're done with work at 10 o'clock. Of course you're going to watch it.
What's the alternative, Danny? What do you want them to do?
I'm done work at 10 o'clock. I also have TV to do today.
Nap.
You still? Okay.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines and talk to you on the Bears. JD coming up at 9 o'clock as we take care of our people on the app.
Let's go back. Where do you want to go?
Beautiful Ocala, Florida.
Wow, Ocala, Florida.
It's under the M's, Matt. Yep.
Hey, Matt, what's up?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Happy Bears Victory Monday.
You got it.
Bears Monday.
Hey, two things real quick I want to hit on the Vilma thing. Yeah, him and Kenny Albert, great. I think he does a great job of explaining. And for young football players watching, I think he does an outstanding job. Second, I think it's time for Matt Nagy to kind of step aside and realize that he's not smarter than everyone. And he's coaching Foles a lot like he's coaching or coached Trubisky. I think Foles is a different player. He's not an all pro by any means, but he's certainly a much better quarterback. He's a lot smarter. You can tell by his checks and his audibles. So I think it's time Matt Nagy kind of step aside and kind of let him go with this offense and stop trying to be so cute. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks,
guys. Appreciate the call. That's never going to happen. He's not going to step aside of his offense. I'll be shocked if that happens.
Some coaches do. This coach will not.
Agreed.
He believes that he has full autonomy. And DeFilippo is just there, you know, I guess
and
for
laser.
Practices. Yeah, just for practices. Back to the app on the ESPN Chicago app.
I want to play this first because I teased Matt Nagy's explanation. This is Matt Nagy. Why pass on third down late in the game?
For our situation, if you get that first down right there, it's game over. You don't punt the ball back to them. And you can run the ball and possibly get it, and you make them burn the timeout. But that's not an aggressive approach. We've already decided. And it doesn't mean that if we're in that situation again that we can't run the ball. That's not what I'm saying. But being in the situation that we were right there, we felt like, hey, we had a play we liked. We already knew it. We said it. Because really, in that situation, if it's a run pass situation, you know on first down that on third down, if you've already made the decision to go for it, you already know what the play is on first down. On third down, I'm saying. You know on third down what it's going to be. So that play was ready. And I have to go back and see it. I couldn't see exactly what happened, but we felt really good, all of us, with the decision to do that. And it's one of those ones, you get it, it's a great call, and it's game over. And if you don't, it stinks, and you got to give the ball back to them. And so we got to finish the end of those games.
It's not we, it's you. Stop saying we. You felt good about the call. You know what I was thinking, Jeff? I was thinking that when the Bears got the turnover and they were in the red zone, do you think Nagy's head exploded? He goes, no, this is the top five. This is the first 15 plays, no matter what. This is the top. Like, I wonder, did he deviate from, like, because it's a different situation when you're, like, first down and 10 at your, you know, at the 25-yard line or 30-yard line. I wonder, did his head explode? So, well, we got the ball in the red zone. Oh. Well, it says here to pass. It says here for a 3-yard pass. I don't know what to do. I wonder what he thought there.
Is that why they got a delay of game out of the timeout? Because he was worrying about the scripted plays.
That explanation is not convincing in any way. He's stumbling over which down it is, telling me that it's run pass. Again, I'm not critical of
the
pass.
Where did he stumble over the down? He said on first down, we know already what we're going to do on third down if we get there.
He stumbled in the middle of that explanation. He stumbled over which down he was talking about. Don't play it again. We all heard it. We can go back to it later. I don't want it to make us late. But the point is, again, I'm not critical of the pass. Part of the I'm critical of the fact that you took 15 seconds off the clock, and when you do so, you're spread out on third and two. At least have a run. Make the defense think you might run the ball and go play action and pass. That's much more dangerous, okay, and more of a chance to convert on that third down.
You do realize that in that same soundbite we just heard, he doesn't think running the football is aggressive enough.
Right.
That's passive.
And he said we might do that later, but it doesn't change anything. We like the play call we had on.
Do you think running the football is passive?
I don't.
Why does he think that's soft? Why would he? No, it's a good question. Is it not a good question?
It's a legitimate question.
How is that not? If Montgomery gets 2 yards, is that passive? Is that not being aggressive? That's a guy that says, you know what? I'm fighting for the 2 yards. First down,
we're
bitch.
Run
here we go.
Right down
right?
your throat.
Right. No, I'd rather pass it.
Right.
Yeah, it's more aggressive.
That's him.
Running the football is passive in 2020. All right, cool.
312-332-3776.
Cool.
Got a bunch of your calls. Q and Brandon and Space and Dave and Levi and Mark and a whole bunch of you. So we'll get to your calls. Jeff Dickerson in exactly
2 minutes.
Take that.
2 minutes. 2 minutes. Count it.